And it was really well done. It was very, very well done. You know, a couple of the financial talking heads.
This is the Quality News Network. As the newest deadline for prisoner exchange passed today, the Taliban announced two of its 21 South Korean hostages are seriously ill. The second kidnapped church volunteer was found shot to death yesterday. A three-star retired general has been censured by the Pentagon for his actions following the friendly fire death of football star turned Army Ranger Pat Tillman in Afghanistan. Former Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld will testify in Congress today about the Pentagon's role in the Tillman incident. It will be the largest peacekeeping effort in the world history. A 26,000-member international peacekeeping force has been approved for the Darfur region of Sudan. The Associated Press reports in Iraq fewer American troops were killed in July, 77, than in any time in the past 8 months. However, July was the second deadliest month this year for Iraqis. At least 2,024 people died. Bombs across Baghdad this morning have killed at least 67 and wounded more than 100. U.S. Deputy Defense Secretary Gordon England says wars in Iraq and Afghanistan will cost more next year than the $147 billion the White House has requested. The Pentagon official testified yesterday before the House Budget Committee. Nicaragua has agreed to turn over more than 1,000 anti-aircraft missiles to the U.S. as requested in return for medical equipment or helicopters. Washington says it's concerned the shoulder-fired missiles could be used to bring down aircraft. The Washington Post reports U.S. Intelligence Chief Mike McConnell says the Bush administration's warrantless domestic spying program was only one aspect of a widespread surveillance effort. Other portions of the secret program are still classified, he said. McConnell made his statements in a letter to the top-ranking Republican on the Senate Judiciary. The Associated Press says a state study reveals Florida's optical scan voting machines remain vulnerable to tampering despite attempts to repair them. Florida's Secretary of State has ordered a report. In Sioux City, Iowa, a third of the city's population was evacuated yesterday afternoon after a tanker truck exploded while loading flammable liquid into a rail car. One person was seriously injured. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business are next.
Hey, what's he doing?
What?
That guy is changing his oil in the street and letting it run right in the storm drain, which pollutes the bay. I totally wouldn't surf in that.
Dude, what can we do?
Call 1-800-CLEANUP to report anyone dumping oil, antifreeze, or paint in the street.
This way, fools like that can be fined.
Tell everyone to call 1-800-CLEANUP.
Taking care of the marine sanctuary is your duty. From Mayos at Monterey High.
Hi, I'm Anthony, owner of the Duplication Connection, and I want to help you grow your business. At the Duplication Connection, we specialize in CD and DVD duplication in quantities from 1 to 1 million. If your company needs mass quantities of CDs or DVDs, you can now use us as one of your primary marketing tools. Thousands of our customers have depended on our fast turnaround and superior quality product for almost 20 years, and so will you. Please call us at 831-373-0493 or visit our website at www.duplicationconnection.com.
A 12-year study by Japanese health researchers say women may halve their risk of colon cancer by drinking at least 3 cups of coffee daily. Scientists say consuming caffeine did not offer the same benefits to men. California is warning consumers not to eat ginger imported from China because it may contain dangerous pesticides. The ginger, distributed by a Gilroy company, was sold to Albertsons and Save Mart stores. Pharmaceutical company Wyeth will release its depression drug Prestick, but has been ordered by the FDA to conduct more tests before advertising it as the first non-hormonal drug to treat symptoms of menopause. Johnson & Johnson will eliminate more than 4,800 jobs, about 4% of its global workforce, in a major restructuring move. The company cited decreasing sales of its heart stents and the increasing threat of competition from generic drugs. Controlling shareholders of the Dow Jones Company have agreed to sell the firm to Rupert Murdoch. The takeover deal is valued at $5.6 billion. Whole Foods beat Wall Street expectations even as it posted a decline yesterday in quarterly profits. A federal court today continues a hearing that would block the company's proposed acquisition of Wild Oats Markets. Light sweet crude is trading at $77.76 a barrel. There's more on our website at qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Annabelle Lund.
Live from Chicago, the city with many names, it's the Cup of Joe Radio Show. 2 hours of truth and fury representing the fighting spirit of the American worker. And now, through the miracle of screaming audio, here's the guy your bosses hate, the Windy City's biggest windbag, your host, Joe Vecchio.
All right, everybody, it's Wednesday, and yes, I'm actually here for a change. How's everybody doing? Wake up, get up, get up. It's 11 o'clock on the East Coast. What the hell are you doing still in bed? Why, I oughta. How's everybody doing today? I had an interesting few days, an interesting weekend. I saw the Simpsons movie. I'll talk about that in a little bit. It's a warm day here. Actually, it's really not so bad outside, but there's really, since there's not much of a breeze, I'm not really getting very warm here in my room, in my place. Usually when there's a breeze blowing in here, it's really, really nice. We really have yet to get the really hot, nasty days of summer. So we've been fortunate. We don't have air conditioning here. Neither one of us can afford an air conditioner. And it would probably cost too much for the electric bill anyway. So we're just dealing with stuff as it comes along. But so far, it's been all right. We figure there's going to be a couple of the real nasty weeks later on in the year. And then after that, it'll start to cool down. Once you hit September here in Chicago, it'll start to cool down decently. And we have a new housemate. We have a little cat. Actually, the cat does belong to the landlord, but it's been kind of like an apartment cat. It's been living here in different places. So it was living up on the third floor with the crazy people. But since the crazy people have moved out, my roommate and I have agreed to keep an eye on her. And my landlord's paying for the food and paying for the kitty litter and all that stuff. So, and she's kind of skittish because the crazy stairs, always yelling and screaming and hitting. So she's a little shy of people. But as things get by, hopefully she'll get a little better. She's a Siamese, gray with a black face, and very nice, but very erratic. Very erratic, and like I said, not particularly friendly, just a little scared. So we're happy to have her, and she's very quiet. Cats are cool to have in the house, unless you have more. Anything more than two cats is too much, as far as I'm concerned. One is okay, because there's not a problem with smell, and there's not a problem with too much of a mess. But you get like that. You wind up like that cat lady from The Simpsons. Forget about it. And I've lived in places where they had 16, 17 cats, and I'm like, oh my God, I can't deal with it. I can't deal with all the dander and stuff like that. And I hate that term, dander, but that's what it's called. When my poor wife Kathy, when she was working at the animal hospital, the last place that she worked, and she worked in the back, I couldn't go in the back because it was so strong. I mean, because there were like dogs and cats there and everything, and I just couldn't go there. I'd start coughing and wheezing and this. I'm allergic, but only if it's in really, really large amounts. But one cat's cool. One cat is cool. You don't want to hear about that crap. Well, maybe you do. I don't know. I don't care. I'm just killing time. No, what's happening with me in the show is a lot of times, this 11 to 7 shift, and I've talked about this before, and I'm going to talk about it again to kill a few minutes. No, but I have a situation where I'm working 11 to 7, and it's throwing off my entire sleep schedule. When I say 11 to 7, I don't mean 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. That would actually not be too bad. I mean I'm working from 11 p.m. to 7 a.m., and it is completely and totally my entire sleep system. And I'm trying to get this promotion partly because I need the extra money, because, quite frankly, I can't afford to work where I'm working, and I'll talk more about that in a little bit, but also because... I need to get back on the second shift, which is my shift. This is the shift that I like. 3 p.m. to 11 p.m. That's it. And I like that shift. That's the shift that I want. And hopefully that'll be happening soon. Hopefully it'll happen, period. I mean, and that's just the thing. I mean, I love my job, and I love my work, and I like the people I work with on third shift. And I like my bosses, too, but they tend to be a little slow and things sometimes. I was talking to my roommate about it. I said, yeah, it's just like people are just afraid to make a decision. And I have the term I have for that actually is executive block, is what I call that. People who are afraid to make decisions simply because they're afraid of how it's going to be viewed and you know, making a bad decision. But you know, making a bad decision sometimes just happens. And of course, in this case, it wouldn't be a bad decision. I'd be a very good supervisor for second shift. So we're just going to wait and see what happens. But to get on to my original point, sometimes I'll go like yesterday. Before yesterday, I worked. I actually was called in earlier, and I worked for like 12 hours. I worked from 7 o'clock in the evening to 7 o'clock in the morning. 11 and a half once you take out a half an hour for lunch, right? But you know, that was a lot of work. And I get off of that, and I'm like, I want to do that. And if I want to do the show, I don't want to sit here and do a show where I'm... You don't want that. You don't want that. Now, you know, there's going to come a time when, and, you know, yes, hopefully there's going to come a time when the Head On Network is an actual business where I'm ready for this, and this will be my primary occupation, and then I won't have to deal with that. You know, I could, you know, time my stuff a lot better and do the show. In fact, I'll do more hours, definitely, because I can do it. I mean, doing one hour goes by really fast for me. My roommate's like, how can you talk like that for an hour? What's wrong with you? How can you talk so much? I said, an hour is nothing. So anyway, I was tired on Monday Bob and Agnes were not there. And on Tuesday, I couldn't be there. So today, you got me today. And hopefully, you'll have me tomorrow. Starting tomorrow, the yearly Coast Convention will be going on, and I hope to be a part of that. I am credentialed. I got to find out from Bob what I need to do once I get down there. And yeah, there's someone on one of the bloggers who's not going to the convention is planning. He wants people to ask what the candidates are going to do to bring back constitutional government to the United States. And I was actually planning on asking something along those lines. I was going to say that, you know, there have been in world history, there have been three great nations that rose to power as republics, and the first two fell, you know, into empire. And I want to know what each candidate would do as president, and what, more importantly, what we can do as citizens to prevent the same thing from happening to the United States. And we'll see how they respond to that. If I get to ask the question, I certainly want to ask it, and I certainly want to interview some of the candidates. It would be nice to meet Senator Clinton, Senator Obama, Governor Dean. I met him actually once, very very briefly, at a fundraising event in Atlanta. He's a very nice guy. And I'm really looking. You know, me and Coast Daily Coast don't necessarily get along. I stopped posting on their diaries, because every time I post a diary, there's always some idiot. Well, you know, you got this piece of thing wrong, so you screw up. You know, there's people like that all over the place in there. It's like you got to be, you know. And of course, some people just say stuff because they want to improve their little social stand. Why, he made an error. I must point it out so that I can be shown that I'm just a good natural person and there's a good sin. You know, it was in 1865 that happened, not 1864, as you said. So, you know, you need to be mindful of this, and then you need to get your facts straight before you make. Shut up. Come out here and smack you in the mouth. What I ought to do is just go take a break. It's a little early for that. Well, let's go ahead and do that. Give me a call today, because I don't know what the hell I'm going to talk about. I've got so much going on and so little going on. The number is 1-304-658-5453. 1-877-443-2366. Help me out. Give me a call. Talk to me, or I'm going to come over there and beat the crap out of you. We'll be back with more of the Cup of Joe Radio Show here on the Head On Radio Network.
there's one place on the web you can go that's so topical, you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Claude, Wally, and Dookie are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com, your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
If you missed Strictly Confidential last week, you missed Gay Fashion Tips.
So I'm sitting here in my Florida State University t-shirt and my pajama bottoms.
You missed what gay DJs name their dogs.
Disco and Boogie are their names.
You missed Lesbian Bible Study.
And that's my favorite line, too, out of the Bible. Like, thou shalt not lie with a man, so I don't, and so what's up with that?
You missed Kiss and Tell.
And this big, tall, handsome Air Force sergeant bent down and kissed me, and I didn't wash my lips for weeks.
You missed The Pursuit of Happiness.
Are you attached, Mom?
Well, see, now this is Strictly Confidential, isn't it?
Tune in Monday through Friday at 9 p.m. Eastern for Strictly Confidential, gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered conversation radio, exclusively on the Head On Radio Network. You know you want to.
Here's a little test for you. Identify the following water-saving devices around your home. Using water wisely is important since our growing population puts pressure on this limited resource. Ready? That's water-saving device number 19, your outdoor faucet. Check faucets, sprinklers, and hoses for drips or leaks to save water and money. That's your toothbrush, water-saving device number 54. Turn the faucet off while you brush and save up to 25 gallons a month. It's water-saving device number 11, your water bill. If it's unusually high, you could have a leak. Learn to detect and repair leaks by contacting your water provider. Last clue? That's BeWaterSmart.net, a helpful website full of water-saving tips from the Water Conservation Coalition and your local water provider. There are a number of ways to save water, and they all start with you. Water. Use it wisely.
You're listening to the Head On Radio Network.
All right, and we're back here on the Cup of Joe Radio Show. Once again, I'm your not-so-humble host, Joe Vecchio! Voice of the working man, stinking man, voice of those who have been unvoiced by the anti-worker, no, anti-American policies of the Bush administration and their corporate allies. Once again, the number to call in, 1-877-443-2366, or actually we prefer you to call the 304 number, that's 1-304-658-5453. Give me a call, talk to me. Our good friend Pete Godbold was saying that I should sit here and sing show tunes until somebody calls me. Let's see, what can I think of? Then I think of a good show tune to sing. Oklahoma, where the wind goes whipping down the plain. Everybody! Oh, my goodness. Actually, I had a version for karaoke, because, you know, everybody likes to sing karaoke, and I like to sing karaoke, but, you know, being a person who not wants to injure other people, I only do it in private. But I had a little song that I made up called Karaoke, where we all sing really, really bad, where we grab that mic and make noise the like that this hotel has never, ever had, and when we sing, we'll make your eardrums ring. And you will know that we're gonna sing karaoke, karaoke, O-K-A-R-A-O-K-E, karaoke. He'll be here all week. Karaoke is a Japanese term meaning tone deaf. Oh, God Almighty. Well, like I said, I saw the Simpsons movie. I saw it on Friday. I only paid $5.50 to go matinee. I'm always cheap that way. And I people saying, well, you know, it's not the funniest thing ever. Well, you know something, it's about as good as a really, really good Simpsons episode. It's about as good as that, which is to say, it's pretty damn funny. And I enjoyed the hell out of it. There's a great the main plot of the movie is that Homer falls in love with a pig. And one of the funnier parts, and it's already, and I won't be doing any spoilers because it's already been in the previews and stuff. But Homer's got the pig, and Marge is looking at the footprints and on the walls and on the ceiling, and she's like, "How did the pig's footprints get on the ceiling?" And there's Homer holding the pig upside down, walking him across the ceiling, going, "Spider pig, spider pig does whatever a spider pig does." Just losing it. And yes, the rumors are true. You get to see Bart's doodle. Bart's little pee-pee hanging out there for a little while, for about 2 seconds. And yeah, I'm sure we were all really looking forward to that, but it's a cartoon, for crying out loud. I can see all the right wings going, "Wow, that's nothing but a bunch of pornography. That's all that is, a bunch of pornography." Shut up. You schmuck. It's a cartoon. It's a cartoon pee-pee. What's wrong with you? You can put your eye out with that thing. So much going on. So many things. I was reading, going back to real world important stuff. I was just looking through all the news items of Gonzalez, and now there's actually a serious call to impeach Mr. Gonzalez, the head of the Department of Justice, who really doesn't, you know, the best thing you can say about him at this point is that he's incompetent. That's the best thing you can say. Well, I think I can stay around here to fix the problems that are basically my fault. Atrios had a good one too. He was talking about he wrote, "Given our history, the senior senator from Pennsylvania, that is Alden Spector. I'm sure Alden Spector could get a letter like this from Mr. Gonzalez. Dear Senator Arlen, I made poopy in my pants. Love, Alberto G. And Arlen will deem it satisfactory." Republicans. I've said this before. I haven't said it for a while in this show, but I've said it before. Republicans are Republicans first, and Americans when it's convenient. They are completely and utterly and totally loyal to their party. And you know, that's just the thing. And I was talking about this with my roommate and a few other people, and some people I just bugged on the train about it for no reason. But I was saying that, you know, the problem is that with the Republicans, they are so, and to say they're just unified, like that's a good thing, is just plain wrong, because they're just monolithic, because all they're concerned about is their place. And you have a situation where they're going to stand up as a bloc against anything and then blame it on the Democrats. I mean, that's what they're doing now. They're obstructing anything that the Democrats want to do, demanding the 60-vote majority. And, you know, maybe someday we'll give it to them if the election results weren't fixed. By the way, I read about this thing recently. It was from MakeThemAccountable.com, my good friend Carol Kay, who does her news every day, MakeThemAccountable.com. But she had a little thing where it was saying that Ohio's election results for 2004 were illegally destroyed. So we'll never know for sure, will we, what happened in Ohio in 2004, just like we'll never know for sure what happened in Florida in 2000. And the Republicans like that just fine, because they don't care for the democratic process. They're not interested in the will of the people. We have a president whose approval rating is 25%. 25%! I call that the butt quarter, ladies and gentlemen, the butt quarter, based on the state quarter for Georgia, which has a picture of a peach, but if you turn it upside down, that peach looks incredibly like a butt, like they're mooning you. So I call all the Georgia quarters, I call the butt quarter. And that's exactly what we have, who are the supporters of the president, the butt quarter of the country, the 25%. But even with that low approval rating, the Republicans will still pretty much do anything he says. Oh, they might say that they're going to disapprove with the president. Well, I think I'm going to go along and not just go along with this. Then when the vote comes on, well, you know, the president, I'm going to stick with the president. Yeah, he is with my party. It's happy. Screw you. Yeah, smack you around a little bit. Yeah, you ought to. But it makes it impossible for anything to get anything done. Anybody to get anything done. Any good things done. And, you know, the Republicans are, you know, they go on the premise that, you know, they hate government. And you don't want people who hate government being in charge of government, period. Because what they want, you know, they basically want everything to be privatized. And they want, actually, what they really want from the government is that for the government to represent the interest of a certain group of people as opposed to everybody. Because they do believe in big government. They just believe in big government for the purpose of helping their rich pals. Excuse me there. A little belch. It's power politics. Pure and simple. Pure and simple. It's all based on this is what we want, and how do we get it, and how do we stop others from stopping us. And the problem with the Democrats is that they still are under the naive belief that the rules matter, or at least in terms of, you know, playing cooperatively matter. It's like in the scene from the movie Slapshot, where the one team was beating the crap out of the Chiefs, and Paul Newman, who's like talking about, well, we got to do our passing, we got to do this, we got to do that, you know, and just go out there and kick their ass for a while, and then you deal with the other stuff. You know, there comes a point. There's got to come a point where you're going to say, okay, enough is enough. And for the Democrats, obviously, it hasn't happened yet. Maybe because they're still wealthy enough not to be really affected by the policies. They can say, well, we lost the policy point there, but, you know. But they don't really seem to care above and beyond that. Well, maybe some of them do. I'm sure a lot of them do, but a lot of them are still under the naive belief that you can actually work with these Republicans, and you simply can't. Maybe in the future. Maybe there's things that can be done, but not at this present moment. You gotta understand there's practical things that you need to do first. Okay, and the practical thing to do first is to get as much as possible every Republican out of office, period. People talking about, you know, trying to figure out what happened on 9/11 for real, what happened here, what happened there, you know, that's fine, that's good, but you know something? That's not going to happen so long as George Bush is in office. That's not going to happen so long as the Republican Party has anything to say about whether these investigations take place at all. It's simply not going to happen because they're not going to allow it to happen because they know that they are complicit in a lot of this stuff. And I hear people say, well, you know, they put the bomb in the World Trade Center and they had the remote control aircraft and all that. You know something? That really doesn't matter at this point. It really doesn't matter. You think, oh, my God, how could it not matter? Excuse me, I had to get a drink there. So how could it not matter? It's such an important thing. And I was, yeah, but you know something? All the stuff they did afterwards is certainly enough to get them kicked out of office, and to also to make the Republican Party itself a pariah. Why does it survive? Why does it last? Because of all the money that they have. Because that's what they're good at. They're good at separating you from your money, ladies and gentlemen, and they're doing it very, very well. They do it very, very well. We're here. We got the WINS news coming up. I assume we have the WINS news coming up. Just go ahead and do that. And I got an issue I've been discussing with some friends of mine that I want to talk about. And we'll be back with more of the Cup of Joe Radio Show here on the Head On Network. Call me in 1-877-443-2366, 1-304-658-5453. We'll be back with more.
This is the Workers' Independent News. I'm Jesse Russell. The House of Representatives stood up for workers Tuesday by overturning a Supreme Court ruling that limited the amount of time workers had to sue if they believed their wages were discriminated against due to race or gender. The House voted 225 to 119 that if an employer's decision to pay a worker less money was outside of the 180 days established by the 1964 Civil Rights Act, the employee was still entitled to sue. The House clarified that the workers must file the claim within 180 days of the discriminatory paycheck. President George W. Bush has vowed to veto the legislation. On average, Canadians receive 2 weeks paid vacation and 10 statutory holidays after 1 year of employment. A report from the Canadian Labour Congress says that is not enough, and the government needs to step in and require more. Barbara Byers is executive vice president of the CLC and says the government should enact legislation that requires 3 weeks vacation and 10 paid statutory holidays. Why? So they can keep up with their European and Australian counterparts. Australian and New Zealand workers get 4 weeks paid vacation after a year of employment. In Austria, they receive 30 days paid vacation and 13 paid holidays. Swedish workers don't receive any paid holidays off, but they do have 5 mandated weeks of paid vacation. How does the U.S. stack up to our counterparts in the Great White North and the rest of the developed world? Not very well. In the United States, we have 0 legislated vacations and no regulated holidays. Carlisle Group can move forward with a plan to acquire Goodyear Tire now that the United Steelworkers have ratified a contract. Holding up the contract were issues concerning establishing a secure trust and retiree health care. Negotiations this past weekend left the union content, and the sale can now move forward. While the contract resembles the current Goodyear contract, pensions will be frozen when the sale closes, and workers who complete 5 years of service will be vested into EPD Incorporated's pension plan. EPD is the name that Carlisle will use to produce Goodyear products. Carlisle will be purchasing the company for $1.48 billion. Democrats are not done raising the minimum wage. Senator Edward Kennedy of Massachusetts announced plans this week to propose an increase to $9.50 per hour by the year 2009. The current federal minimum saw an increase to $5.85 per hour last week and is scheduled to edge up to $7.25 per hour by 2009. Kennedy says the higher minimum is necessary to help American families cover health care, food, and other necessities. After 36 days, a copper strike in Chile has come to an end. Contract workers for Codelco halted work demanding better pay. The new agreement, reached this week, has the contract companies paying 28,000 workers productivity bonuses of $865. The companies have also agreed not to fire workers who took part in the strike, as long as they did not play a role in inciting violence. Workers Independent News.
Advertising on the Cup of Joe radio show is both easy and inexpensive. Ads that cost as little as $5 a piece are a bargain when you consider that the Cup of Joe show has an audience in the thousands for a live show, and that's not even counting the thousands more that listen on iTunes or at the archives on the White Rose Society. And all you have to do is email me at joe@cupjoe.com, that's CUPJOE.com, to find out how you can advertise your blog, organization, or product. What are you waiting for? Email me now at joe@cupjoe.com, CUPJOE.com, and let internet radio ads work for you.
As I understand the conflict right now between the president's bill and the one supported by the Democrats, John McCain and Lindsey Graham, is that John McCain and Lindsey Graham and the Democrats say that the bill, the standards we use, should be the standards that are the same as the treaty we signed, the Geneva Convention signed after World War II that every civilized nation follows. And the president is saying, that restricts me too much. That's too humane. I want to be able to do other things. I won't say what they are, but sources tell us that things like waterboarding, you know, drowning people, putting them in 50-degree weather. And the question, I think, is should we hold the United States to the same standards that England holds itself to, that Canada holds itself to, that other civilized nations hold themselves to?
Get the view from inside the Beltway with Mark Levine on the Radio Inside Scoop right here, 2 to 3 p.m. weekdays on the Head On Radio Network.
At this moment, more than 800 million people are hungry. Millions more live in poverty. And you wonder, what can I do? Join the thousands of caring people who let Heifer International be their helping hands in the world. Right now, from Appalachia to Zimbabwe, Heifer is helping thousands of families become more self-reliant through the gifts of livestock and learning. Heifer provides farm animals that produce milk, eggs, and other products. That means milk to drink and products like cheese to sell. Having income means families can have better housing and health care, and their children can go to school. And recipients share their success, passing on the gift of their animal offspring to other families in need, ensuring dignity, self-reliance, and hope for the future. Find out how you can make a difference today at heifer.org. That's HEIFER.org.
You're listening to the Head On Radio Network.
Okay, and we're back here on the Cup of Joe Radio Show. Let's just go right to the phones. Our good friend Pete Godbold is on the phone with us. Hi, Pete. How are you today?
Good morning to you, Joe. How are you doing?
Pretty good.
Good. I'm glad to hear it. We have missed you. You've been missing in action for a few days, and with John gone too, the morning has just seemed not worth getting up for.
I'm sorry about that. I do what I can. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do know what you're saying. Nobody really understands how much your time investment doing a show is. It's huge. To even try to come up with the material and to get yourself going and all that, it's a huge commitment.
Well, I hate to say it, but I just wing it every day. I just come in here. I'll read a couple of websites for about a half an hour, and then I'll say, all right, what am I going to talk about?
I got to tell you, since I've started doing this thing I do during the evenings, I'm really falling behind on the news. And what happens to me is I try to look up, you know, information specifically about GLBT stuff, and so I'm ignoring all my, you know, my buzz flashes and my truth out articles and all the stuff that comes in. I just don't have time to read them, and so I'm just so far behind on what's going on. I'm having to depend on you guys to keep me to tell me what the hell's going on.
Well, you know, and the thing about it is, the people who do watch a lot of news, they're generally not that informed anyway. At least if they're watching the so-called professional news. I've been reading. They had this article in the New York Times by, I forget their names, but a couple of guys who the Times claimed, or and other people have been claiming, were critics of the war, and they're going around saying, oh yeah, victory is still possible, we're doing this, blah blah blah, everything is wonderful in Iraq, or everything is getting better, and which of course it isn't. But what's really annoying is that these guys have a track record of saying the exact opposite of that, and yet the professionals in the media are saying that they're not, that they're saying that they were critics of the war, and they never were.
Oh,
so,
my God.
So if you're not watching the news, you're actually probably better informed by not watching it.
Yeah, that's you couple that with things like Fox, you know, whenever there's a big Republican scandal, Fox News will show a photograph of whoever the Republican of the day is caught in, with his pants down somewhere, and then put D for Democrat.
Put D in front of the name, yeah.
Yeah, and they've done that again recently with someone I happened to scan it this morning. I wish I could recall the details, but they just...
It wasn't even a scandal issue. I think it was a congressman or a senator who was giving, you know, who was questioning Mr. Gonzalez, you know, a bit too strongly.
Uh-huh. And speaking of Gonzalez, you know, Cheney is really, really starting to show his rear end. You know, he did that New York Times thing, and he said he was asked directly, you know, if he sent the... Gonzalez and the folks over to you know, to beat up the guy in the hospital bed to get permission to do the spy program, and Cheney is saying, I don't recall. He doesn't remember if he sent them or not. And then they say to him, well, that seems like something you'd recall. And the president, vice president, and Cheney goes, well, yeah, I would think so, but I certainly don't recall it. You know, it just the sheer, it's such a thin veneer of lying that you'd have to be a fool not to see through this stuff.
And you got to think about when does it get to a point where suddenly it's saying, you know, we're not going to have you on anymore because we're sick of you lying to us.
Oh, amen. It's completely irrelevant. Yet the news every day, the world starts over again. History never happened. Whatever the White House says, it's all fresh and new and clean. how long can it go on, Joe? How long? It just never ceases to amaze me, and people believe it.
And you know, there's still, and you know, the approval rating is 25%, and it's amazing to me that it's even at that high. You know, I mean, and you wonder who these 25% are. You know, well, you know, their stuff's messed up, and you know, they're basically tarted.
Well, I have a little insight because I've talked to people. You know, I live in the South, and that's a horse of a different color. There are people throughout the South that only listen to Christian radio. Period.
Right.
And
right.
And by the same token, they don't always admit it, but they will listen to people like the Rush Limbaughs and what have you, who are often carried on those same stations. And
right, because you know, Rush is a good Christian. Right.
That's right, and they feel like they have been so indoctrinated by them, the Christian media telling them over and over again that, you know, everyone else is liars and has some sort of hidden agenda, and that they're telling you the truth, and that, you know, they represent the authority of God and all this sort of thing, that it's horrifying to me how many people intentionally close themselves off even from the mainstream media, which sometimes tells the truth, not often, but sometimes, to the Christian right wing stuff, which never ever tells the truth from a political point of view.
Well, you know, I lived in the South for many, many years, and I saw just exactly that. And it's really scary that these people kind of enclose themselves into their own little society like that, and they don't recognize it, that there is a world outside of that, and they don't realize that a lot of them are simply being scammed. What was it? Peter Popoff, that's the guy's name. I'm sure you may or may not be familiar with him. He was one of many televangelists of the B-level type, not like a Falwell or a Robinson, but fairly close to that. And he had a little scam that he was running where he would talk to people and mention their illnesses and stuff like that, like he was getting a divine revelation from God, whereas what the reality was that his wife was in the back, and he had a little radio transceiver in his ear that was, you know, camouflaged, a little earpiece there, and she was just basically reading him the information, getting from the cards that people had filled out on the way in. And professional skeptic and former magician James Randi revealed this on, of all places, The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson.
Yeah.
And he showed what was going on, and it took these people years to get this news because they were told never to watch shows like that, so they would only get their news from Christian sources.
Yes, another aspect of that too. Bob is sometimes forwards me stuff he gets from the American Family Association. I should probably go ahead and get on their little list to get their newsletter flyers, because you know they're always attacking somebody. But the thing is, I just can't bear them. So Bob will forward me one every once in a while when it's especially obnoxious. And throughout their entire letter, no matter who they're attacking, it's always forward this to everybody in your mailing list. And that's how they sort of slide around the internet like worms, and they like move from one friend's mailing list to another. And a lot of them, they all get their information through these bizarre little twisted mailing list things.
Oh, and also, you know, I have a lot of my wife's relatives are in that camp. And every now and then they send me something that's maybe not so much hate-filled, but that perpetuates a stereotype that's just blatantly wrong. And I have to write it and correct them. And, of course, they all hate me when I do that.
Yes, exactly. They hate you when you... Yeah, they can't handle that. Yeah.
You know. What really bothers me, Pete, are the people who are gay and who continue to support the Republicans. And I can't figure that one at all.
I can't either.
It's like sheep voting for wolves, you know?
Exactly. There was a story that came up the other day about this guy that he's only 18 years old, and he was the webmaster and very involved in the Tancredo campaign. You know, the Tancredo guy is just a virulent lefty Republican. And this guy, he's only 18, and he had this MySpace page, and on the MySpace page he listed himself as being heterosexual and that he, you know, how he, the, you know, all this the smear stuff about the lefties and homosexual agenda and all that. But see, he was just outed big time. The guy's gay. And so he goes back and he cleans up his MySpace page and he takes out his reference to being heterosexual and he you know, removes that all together and he's joined some other guy's campaign who's supposed to be an independent, but he's in fact a Republican in disguise. But it just amazes me how corrupted people... I mean, an 18-year-old, for crying out loud, you don't expect people to get that corrupted And that hate-filled, you know, self-loathing and what have you at that early an age.
Oh, sure, sure. But, you know, it's got... there's something about being part of a group, I think, is why these people do that. And I think for some homosexuals, it's kind of fashionable to be Republicans. Like they're rebelling, you know. Well, I may be gay, but I can still think of, you know, fiscal responsibility, which, of course, is still BS.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I was thinking about recently Max Blumenthal had a little film about the right-wing Republicans who support the war, the college Republicans. They support the war, but they won't go and fight. And they had one of them on, and he was talking about, you know, and he was going in circles. You can see himself. He was almost like he was backing himself into a corner, the way he was saying and he was talking about. I'm sure people get, you know, feelings and certain feelings towards, you know, homosexuality and stuff like that. But you have to fight that. And you have to deny that because, you know, and I've done that. I've gone through that. So I'm okay. I know I'm okay. And Cassandra had a big old sign underneath that said, you know, confirmed heterosexual. But you can tell that this guy was just a closet gay and would not, you know, even look at his feelings like that because he was afraid to. You know, I'm afraid of what I'm feeling.
Well, you know, the whole, what is it, young college Republicans or college Republicans, something like
that? Just the college Republicans. That's like a breeding ground for the Karl Roves
of
the next
cesspool.
Generation.
It is a cesspool of the overprivileged and the not quite so bright who are getting in, you know, these advanced educational places only because their parents, you know, spend a whole bunch of money like George. And
right.
It's a cesspool of people who think that they are the ruling class because they come from money and that they... And I think I remember reading something about that recently. There were a whole bunch, there was a guy asking him why they didn't go fight. And it
was all these medical,
you know, this person after person, they were obviously perfectly healthy young people. They all had, like, what, back injuries and feet and...
Or had better things to do. I mean, one of the guys said, "Well, I had other things going on right now."
Yeah,
so
that was and some of them would just come out right now. But you know, some of them lied, but others were going, "Yeah, well, you know, I got better things to do." You're right, Joe. It was just it's a cesspool of hypocrisy. Hard to believe.
Well, that's worse than hypocrisy. I frankly think we ought to institute a draft and draft them first, all of them, without question. Doesn't matter, you know, not even because, you know, they're putting amputees back on the front lines now because they're so desperate to get people. So I wouldn't even bother with medical exams. Just throw them in a uniform and throw them on the front lines, and here you go.
Yeah, you know, and Joe, they're doing that too with people that get kicked out under Don't Ask, Don't Tell. They'll discharge them under Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and then you know, a couple of months later they pull them back into Iraq. You know, they've completely lost track of how to keep track of the paperwork, and nobody cares anymore. It's just, you know, fill the bodies, and don't give them any VA benefits. Whatever you do, no VA benefits.
See, that's the difference between how conservatives treat soldiers and how liberals treat soldiers, because under liberals we had the GI Bill, which was one of the huge reason for America's great success in science and in, you know, people building better lives for themselves, because anybody who fought in World War II could have a free college education, basically, and then get access to loans to buy houses and things like that. So they took care of their veterans.
Yeah.
Not the Republicans, you know. They'll while they're at war, they'll stand them up as a prop and take a picture with them, and then off you go. Go fight the wars for me. And then when you get back, screw you.
Yes, and they're even saying that these people who are the you know, the myriad of cases of what has it, PTSD or post-traumatic PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder.
Right.
And people are coming back horribly emotionally injured, if not physically injured too, from being over there. And they're saying, they're denying them benefits, saying that they had PTSD before they went into Iraq. I mean, how does an 18-year-old kid, unless he's seen his family axe murdered, have post-traumatic stress disorder?
PTSD was a pre-existing condition, right? Yeah. They're getting insurance company execs to do this work for them.
Oh my! You know, that wouldn't surprise me a bit if they aren't what is the word, offloading that into the private sector to disqualify people, because that's what, you know, insurance companies do that professionally, disqualify people. That's their whole function.
Sure. And you know, and the thing about it is there's actually more private soldiers in Iraq than there are U.S. military members, and those private soldiers are making more money.
In fact,
I think it was General Petraeus, I'm said his bodyguard consists of entirely of Blackwater people.
And they, you know, Joe, they get to eat entirely different set of food. They actually get clean water. They actually can use computers and email their people back home. And now, you know, our soldiers are cut off from, you know, posting blogs. Or it's just mind-numbing what's going on. Yet these people listen to their Christian broadcasting, and everything's fine, and the Lord's going to take care of it all, and don't worry about tomorrow. That, you know, we're all in the Lord's care. You know, and I'm a person of faith out there. But when mankind has completely screwed up the planet, you know, you have to wonder when the Lord's going to say, "Okay, you broke it, you fix it." If you want to, you know, go into that direction a little bit.
I'm an agnostic. I'm not a religious person in any way, shape, or form. If I deal with anything, I deal with what they call deism, which is what they call the watchmaker version of God, where God built everything, wound it all up, and you know, just let it run and doesn't interfere. And I really think that if God is like that, then he's not going to, you know, interfere with this. It's like, if we're going to kill each other, then, you know, there's nothing he can do, and there's nothing he should do, because that would be interfering with his creation. It's up to us to learn it.
An awful lot that backs you up, the whole concept of free will.
And, sure. I always say, look, if God wanted yes men, God could have made yes men. I mean, he wouldn't have bothered with all this other stuff. When he can just, you know, have a race of beings that will basically do what they're told anyway.
Yeah.
Why would he want to do that?
Well, this country has degenerated to the point that it's hard to recognize. I'm, you know, being 54, you know, I go back a few years, and I remember when I was in my teens and my 20s, the world seemed like a much brighter place, with a much more hopeful place. And if anything, we've gone back. We are truly a fascist state now. We have no control in the voting booth anymore. Both parties are taken over by their national committees, and it's all about politics, benefiting the people who contribute to the campaigns. There's no denying it. And then you've got, like, John Edwards getting up there, and he's still concerned about gay marriage, and he's blaming it on his Southern Baptist heritage. Well, you know, get over your Southern Baptist heritage. Nobody gives a damn about your Baptist heritage. Then he's playing it off of his wife, and his wife is going, "Oh, but I think it's a good thing." You know, it's just their way of, you know, maintaining the middle of the road strategy, you know, to balance yes and no between the two. It's also transparent.
Right.
I have a hard time just dealing with what. Why isn't everybody outraged? I just don't understand.
It's because everybody's busy dealing with their own issues. I mean, look at what I'm dealing with here. You know, I'm still, you know, I'm living in a van down by the river, so to speak. Here, so it's very difficult for me to really get up. And, you know, if you want to be an activist, they expect you to be an activist for free. They want you to give of your time and your money and all that stuff. But when it comes to giving something back, well, guess what? You know, I make six figures a year doing fundraising for a liberal corporation, but, you know, you're not getting a penny from me. So, you know, that's what we're up against. I mean, and the Republicans, the right wing, you know, if the Head On Radio was a right wing radio, we'd be on the air in actual radio stations, be making, you know, $100,000, $200,000 a year each. But, you know, because we're on the left, we do it for nothing. And they expect that. And that's, you know, and I've talked about that at length.
If that is so true. If we were of the left, we would already have been picked up by any number of national syndicated. And we would be on right after Limbaugh. All of us would be, one at a time.
Well, Limbaugh wouldn't even be on the air because he's a lunatic.
Yeah.
You know?
You know, I could beat up the queers, and you could beat up the unions, and John can beat up the environmental liars, and we'd just all make a ton of money and screw
the
world.
Oh, I'm sorry. I missed your point there. But, yeah, you're right. We'd all be on, like, right after Limbaugh. And here's Joe Vecchio, who will tell you more about what I just said.
Yes, exactly. Oh, Joe, I got to tell you, it's an amazing world. All we can do is try to do what we can do, you know, within our own little purview, our own little area of.
Well, I see this in the historical context, Peter. I mean, when America became a rich and powerful nation, it attracted the wrong kind of people to leadership positions eventually, because they saw that money and all that power, and there's people who were just not happy until they can squeeze every penny out of people that they possibly can. I mean, they're talking about, you know, they want to get their hands on Social Security. They can just smell it. It doesn't matter that they don't have no idea what to do with it once they've got it. We just want it. And maybe we'll figure out what to do with it later. And never mind that people need that. It doesn't matter to them. Because, you know, guys like you and me, Pete, we're not human. We don't exist. You know, the only reason that we're here is to make money for them. And if we're not making money for them, we might as well be dead. And I'm waiting for the day when technology gets to the point where we're not needed, and then they will just go around and start killing us. That's the way I see it.
Yeah, I don't think you're far off from the truth. In fact, they are killing us in countries that were the, you know, overpopulated poor countries. The ones they can't use in the factories, they're locking up and shooting in the head.
Sure, and you've got situations like in Katrina. You know, I mean, they'll kill us by what's that word? By attrition.
Yeah.
You know, let all the brown people die in New Orleans that weren't doing us any good anyway. You know, it doesn't matter to us,
and that way we
can have a nice big land grab.
Almost come out and say that
sure.
Pretty much was the whole line. You know,
was it the one Republican congressman said that we couldn't redistrict New Orleans, but God did it for us?
Yes, there was some particularly evil remark about cleaning out the housing project.
Yeah.
I can't remember who said that. And then Barbara Bush couldn't devote her pretty little mind to it. I forget exactly how she phrased it.
Yeah. Well, these people here living in the Superdome are just as much better than what they're used to.
Right. Yeah. Joe. I don't know.
We're not human, Peter.
But as long as I've given you a call, I did hear from John this morning. I emailed him to ask how things were going, and apparently he's just now getting hooked back up. What should have taken only about a week or a few days got kind of messed up. You know how companies are, but I think he's got his broadband back, and hopefully we'll have John back pretty soon. I know we all.
I'm looking forward to that because we miss John, and it'd be great having our full morning schedule back, and maybe in the next week or so I'll get this promotion and I'll go back to second shift so that I can actually be properly awake when I do a show. Because, when I do the show now, I do it basically like an hour after I come home from work. And since sometimes I haven't had any real sleep, I mean, I'll have been awake for like 25, 26 straight hours.
Oh,
it's not very good. You know, I'm just kind of like, yeah, that.
Why I oughta.
yeah. But, you can have a whole show full of me going, well, is it... But I mean by that...
Well, as the Southern Christians would say, you're going to get an extra star in your crown for this, Joe.
Oh, God.
Oh, that ought to keep you up a few more hours.
I'm wondering what they would think if they knew that that Mr. Bush and a lot of the Republican stuff is funded by the Reverend Moon.
Oh, that is another thing that kills me. Yeah, what was it that he came out and he got crowned as the Prince of Peace or the Second Coming in a Republican?
Yeah, it said to take out your cross and put up a crown there. I remember that. And that was in a building in the Senate.
Yeah, it was some federal office. It was actually part of the Senate, wasn't it? And yet that went completely under the radar. Nobody knows that but us. And they'll say we're making it up.
No, it's not true. It's not true. And I got the picture of the Moon family cutting cake with the Bush family.
Ew!
Like a birthday celebration or something like that. And you wish Bush would have thrown up on the cake, right? That's what I.
Yeah,
wish.
Absolutely. Oh. Man.
Listen, Pete, I love that you called in, but the show is getting over.
Okay.
We're running out of time here.
Get some sleep here pretty quickly. Just remember to turn it all off and then go straight to bed.
I hear you. All right. Okay. Thanks a lot for calling in, Pete. I appreciate it. You saved my butt today.
Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Thanks. You too. Thanks, Peter Godbold, who you can hear later this evening on the Head On Network. Great show. Great host. And, it is time to bring this thing to a close. And as always, the hour goes by much too quickly. The Head On Radio Network has been produced by the Cup of Joe Radio Show. Let me see, this is what I'm talking about. That on my mind is all that's got scrambled eggs in there instead of a brain right now. The Cup of Joe Radio Show has been produced by the Head On Radio Network, our good friend Agnes Kincaid right out there in the studios in West Virginia. The Cup of Joe Radio Show has been sponsored by UnreportedNews.net. UnreportedNews.net, your source for real news. America back on track with Tony Seton follows on most of your Head On Radio Network stations. Until tomorrow. This is Joe Vecchio saying, hey, 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 get back to work.
Don't put anything on. I'll chug a jug of George. I'll sip a mug of Doug with the creamer of steam. How many more does that leave? Give me a pot of Scotch. Heat up a pan of Stan. Throw in a handful of Dick. That'll do. Every trick. Serve a carafe of mash upon a tray of Ray. I'll lick a
You're listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network.
This is the Quality News Network. The latest deadline imposed by the Taliban has passed, and a military operation is underway to rescue the 21 South Korean hostages. Earlier today, Afghan forces dropped leaflets over the region, warning residents of the upcoming military action. A German engineer captured by the Taliban with another German and five Afghans earlier in July appeared on TV yesterday with a Taliban soldier pointing an RPG launcher at him. He pleaded for German and U.S. troops to withdraw from Afghanistan so that he can be reunited with his family. His German colleague was executed last week. There was more carnage in Baghdad today as a tanker truck was blown up by a suicide bomber at a gas station, killing at least 50 people waiting for gas. In another section of Baghdad, a parked car bomb killed 17 people. It'll be the largest peacekeeping effort in world history. The United Nations Security Council voted unanimously to send thousands of peacekeepers to Sudan's violence-ridden Darfur region. The first of 26,000 additional troops will be deployed later this year. Three-star retired Lieutenant General Philip Kinzinger has been officially reprimanded by the Pentagon for a, quote, perfect storm of mistakes, misjudgments, and a failure of leadership, end quote, following the friendly fire death of Pat Tillman, who gave up a lucrative NFL career to be an Army Ranger. Former Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld is testifying in Congress at this hour about the Pentagon's role in the incident. Nicaragua has agreed to turn over more than 1,000 anti-aircraft missiles to the U.S. as requested in return for medical equipment or helicopters. Washington says it's concerned the shoulder-fired missiles could be used to bring down aircraft. On Capitol Hill, the House adopted legislation toughening congressional ethics rules, approved by a large margin in the House. The measure is expected to sail through the Senate later this week. In South Carolina, the governor says he'll immediately sponsor legislation closing a loophole in state law permitting government employees to use taxpayer-paid salaries and resources to work on presidential campaigns. The Associated Press says a state study reveals Florida's optical scan voting machines remain vulnerable to tampering despite